From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Monday, May 5th. Coming up, we'll listen to a conversation with University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign Chancellor Robert J. Jones as he reflects on leading the university for the past 9 years. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Urbana's new mayor, Deshaun Williams, made history with his election. IPM's Mary Piacenti has more from his inauguration over the weekend.
I will lead and always make decisions rooted in dialogue, integrity, and respect.
With dozens of people watching at Lincoln Square Mall, Deshaun Williams was sworn in as Urbana's first African-American mayor on Saturday. He spoke about his vision for the seat at the ceremony, including plans to promote public safety and start an open-door policy for the mayor's office.
My door will always be open, my ears will always listen, and my heart will always lead.
Kira Moten, the MC of the event and a senior at Urbana High School, said she's excited to see how Williams will help the city's youth.
There's a lack of commitment to our youth, especially at the high school, and I know he has a lot of programs that help to... that are committed to helping us.
Williams will officially start his term after Monday's city council meeting. Mary Piacenti, IPM News.
When astronomers observe the night sky with high-definition telescopes, they collect massive amounts of data. IPM Student Newsroom's Adrian Reitz has more on how artificial intelligence can help sort through it all.
Astronomers everywhere are looking forward to seeing data from a huge project known as the Legacy Survey of Space and Time. The data will help answer questions about dark matter, the Milky Way, asteroids, and more. Amanda Wasserman is a U of I grad student who's using AI to prepare for the onslaught of data.
It would be like having a daycare where you're looking after like one kid and all of a sudden there's 100 kids that you have to look out for and you're like, I need a robot to come in and help me look after them.
The AI tools quickly find data that's interesting to a researcher's studies, so they know what to take a closer look at themselves. Wasserman says the time saved by AI can then be used for research on those areas of interest. I'm Adrian Reitz, IPM News.
A judge has sentenced a Will County landlord for a brutal hate crime. Donna Warder reports.
73-year-old Joseph Chuba has been sentenced to 53 years in prison for the brutal murder of 6-year-old Wadi Al-Fayoumi and the attempted murder of his mother. The family had been renting rooms in Chuba's home in Plainfield, Illinois in October 2023 when Chuba, whose then-wife said he was agitated about the Israel-Hamas war, told Hanan Hashin her family had to leave because they were Muslim. Shaheen testified, "He told me, you as a Muslim must die." According to testimony, Chuba pulled out a knife and stabbed Shaheen more than a dozen times, then turned on her young son, stabbing the 6-year-old 26 times. Following the verdict this past February, the boy's father, Odai Al-Fayoumi, said he felt the decision came a little too late. Following the boy's death, officials in Plainfield dedicated a park playground in his honor. I'm Donna Warder.
The Fighting Illini baseball team lost all 3 games to Rutgers over the weekend. IPM's Colin Hyslope has more.
Rutgers swept the Illini over the weekend, including a doubleheader loss on Friday. Illini pitchers struggled to keep runs off the board, allowing 7 runs or more in all 3 contests. Despite the team's struggles, Illinois sophomore right fielder Cameron Chi-Aloy hit 2 home runs and added a double across the 3 games. The team now has an overall record of 26-19 and are 12-12 in Big Ten Conference play. Illinois will host the Bradley Braves next, tomorrow at 6 p.m. I'm Colin Hyslope, IPM News.
Still to come, we'll listen to a conversation with University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign Chancellor Robert J. Jones as he reflects on leading the university for the past 9 years. That's coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, cloudy with a chance of showers and a high of 64 degrees and a northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and a low of 48 degrees, northeast wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and warmer with a high of 73 degrees, northwest wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 52 degrees, west wind 5 miles per hour, and for Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high of 76 degrees and a northeast wind 5 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, former Illinois Governor George Ryan died Friday at the age of 91. He leaves a complicated legacy, spending 6 years in prison after a federal corruption conviction, but also winning acclaim among human rights activists for emptying Illinois' death row. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll remember Governor George Ryan's life and legacy next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 2 and 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign Chancellor Robert J. Jones is scheduled to deliver the commencement address at the May 17th graduation ceremony at Memorial Stadium. Later this summer, he'll depart Illinois to become president of the University of Washington. IPM News and Public Affairs Director Reginald Hardwick recently sat down with Jones to reflect on leading the U of I for the past 9 years. Starting today, we're sharing that conversation all week. As President Donald Trump's administration withholds billions of dollars from American universities, Reginald started by asking Chancellor Jones if the U of I is in crisis.
Well, let me just say that we are certainly treating this as a crisis, as of most of all of higher education. I'm very much involved in all of the Washington-based higher education associations, and we are collectively looking at the short-term and long-term impact of these executive orders. And I can tell you, unless we're able to mitigate a significant number of them, in the short term, it's going to cost a lot of disruption, as it already has. But in the long term, it really could potentially set our research and innovation agenda back 20 years or more, is what we have been able to deduce. So it is a big deal, and we have to treat it as such. Just like we managed our way through COVID-19, we created the same kind of structure here at Illinois, a crisis response team that's dealing with each executive order, dealing with informing people across the university, all of our academic unit, our research enterprise, to try to assuage a sense of fear, but also try to be very proactive in doing what we can as a university and leveraging our engagement with other universities across the nation and taking a leadership role, actually, in trying to mitigate some of the very dire, detrimental impact of some of these executive orders.
As you know, the Trump administration has put a bullseye on diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. The University of Michigan recently ended all of its DEI programs, or at least announced that, to avoid losing federal funds. Do you see any scenario where the U of I would follow suit?
Not in that regard, because I said time and time again, we are very, very clear, number one, about our mission. As a land-grant university, we're one of the original 37 land-grant universities, and part of our charter is to provide the education to the masses, to the underserved folks, regardless of skin, color, gender, race, etc., and to make sure people from all social economic status have the opportunity to get a world-class education. And unfortunately, the whole attack on DEI is largely because there's a misrepresentation, misunderstanding about what that really means. And all of our programs, or most of them here at this university, are framed about providing access and affordability, providing a world-class education at an affordable price. And so diversity, equity, inclusion is part of our core value system. At the same time, we are still maintaining those programs, but we are being responsible and looking at those programs where language may need to change in order to send a strong message that we are open to all. Because that's what a lot of this is all about, the sense that some of these programs are exclusive or inclusive only of a certain racial group. And so we're making those kinds of changes, but we have no intention of just backing away from our value proposition of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Because I've said time and time again, you know, executive orders doesn't mean that it's the law. And as a public entity, we will always abide by the law. But I remind people that the law is not necessary a binary situation. That's where there's so much litigation going on because some of these executive orders are not necessarily lawful and potentially detrimental to the mission of universities like ours and others.
The Soybean Innovation Lab here at the U of I was permanently shut down by the Trump administration. 30 people are now out of a job. It was one of more than a dozen innovation labs created under the U.S. Agency for International Development to address global hunger. Is this personally frustrating for you?
Well, absolutely, because as you probably may recall, what I bring to the table first as a professor of agronomy and plant genetics, member of the crop science department. I've been a plant science and agronomy agricultural researcher for the last 46 years or so. And a lot of my global engagement has been around projects that were funded by USAID, whether you're talking about the Moroccan project, where I worked for more than two decades in Minnesota to upgrade Hassan II University in Morocco, to the work that sent me to South Africa to work with Desmond Tutu on building a post-apartheid South Africa. And then most recently, I think it was 2019, my wife and I had the great pleasure of visiting Pete at the Soybean Innovation Lab in Malawi. And I can tell you firsthand, that really did strike to the core, because I've seen firsthand where you have cutting-edge research being done to help that country move away from being dependent very much on tobacco as a cash crop, to get them back to producing edible crops and getting them to produce more soybeans, and not only producing soybeans, but extracting soy products and taking the soy meal to feed fish. So all of that now is going to be lost, and it really is very, very disturbing to see those programs go away, because they weren't a handout to these nations. They were providing the necessary resources so that those nations can begin to feed themselves and drive more economic vitality for themselves and a better quality of life for their citizens. So that is the one program that was very, very troubling for me to see go away, because I've seen firsthand across 46 years in higher education in the countries that I mentioned, but other countries and other universities, as you mentioned, that are part of this work, is going to be completely disruptive. And the sad proposition is it's not something you can just turn the switch off and flip it back on in 4 or 5 years and think that you will not have left a lot of harm and a lot of devastation in places that we were trying to help.
Columbia University recently agreed to meet the demands of the Trump administration to avoid losing $400 million in funding. Harvard is now under review. You were one of the few people that talked in a recent New York Times interview, and they even noted that they had asked a number of presidents to talk. Is the American university system of having free speech and government-partnered research over?
I certainly hope it's not over. It is certainly being threatened, and the schools that you mentioned are a prime example of that, where the disruption or withholding federal funding is really being threatened in multiple ways. And if that stands, you're going to see a systematic disruption of this partnership between the federal government and universities, particularly research universities or universities of all size and types, receive some federal funding, and particularly to drive research agendas. And again, the challenging situation here is a short-term impact, but the concern that I have is what is going to be the impact 5, 10, 20 years from now? Because it's my understanding, based on some of the analysis that we've done at Urbana-Champaign, that if some of these things are not put back on track in the next several months, it could result in a loss of research itself and innovation, but perhaps more importantly, the loss of a whole generation of graduate students and postdocs.
That was University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign Chancellor Robert Jones speaking with IPM's Reginald Hardwick. You can watch the entire interview on the Illinois Public Media Channel on YouTube. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Mary Piacenti, Adrian Reitz, Donna Warder, Colin Highslope, and Reginald Hardwick. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.